This live session, I'd like to answer your questions about what a release really is. Please let me know, and you can write the questions in the live section in the comments, and I hope to answer them. So, yeah, thank you for being here. So first of all, I am a big fan of powerful releases, and that is because in the past, when I used to coach people as well outside of the release program, they sometimes happened to not have done the preparation work. But yet in the time of where emotional healing was completely controversial, and saying anything about emotions caused me to get lots of negative emails, I really wanted to show people that emotions and releases and becoming symptom-free is related. So in order to do that, to make them see this, to make them see the connection, I had to push them sometimes a little bit and use heavier tools. So now it comes to the question that a lot of people are asking me, what is it exactly with releases? And sorry, just checking if everything is working. Yeah. So people are asking me, what is the difference between allowing? Because I know that Helmut from the Mindful Gardener is recently getting a lot of YouTube views based on allowing. Well, first of all, stress is resistance. That means when your nervous system is dysregulated, it's like a lot of people are saying it like that, then it means that that you are in a state of resistance towards something. If you allow that, then the stress winds down immediately because you are no longer in a state of resistance against a certain stressor. So what is it that you are resisting? It's also an unconscious thing that you are resisting something. So how can you stop something that you are unconsciously doing when you're not knowing what you're doing, right? So that's the question more or less. So in the release program, the first part is about helping people to get at least the stress response against the secondary stressor, such as the symptoms, your situation, your circumstances, the resistance against the secondary emotions, to get that out of the way. And what usually happens is that by allowing these things, people start to feel better. And in the bell chart, they can reach the 50% recovery, but it sort of feels like you're 70% recovery. So a lot of people are mentioning things like 50% recovered, 60% recovered, 70% recovered, just by removing the unnecessary stress against secondary things that are the consequence of having a chronic illness or symptoms or emotions. So, hi, says Ela Du Design. Hi, thank you for being here. If you've got a question, then fire away. So allowing is the opposite of stress. And allowing means that you are in a state of healing. But allowing what, you know, that's the question every time. Because, you know, fight or flight, anger and fear are basically signs of resisting something. But if you then think that you shouldn't feel angry about something, then you are again in resistance towards your anger or your fear. And these are boundaries. So then you are in resistance towards other things. So maybe we don't have this stress response for nothing. You know, maybe it's a good thing. See it like this. You're in the river and you flow with the current. You allow it and you're feeling amazing, but a little bit ahead of you is a rock. And when you bump into the rock, you're not going to feel fine. So you use a tiny bit of energy, let's say from the stress response then, to move out of the way so that you can relax again. But many people are always in a state of resistance. They resist their emotions, their thoughts, their feelings, their circumstances. And unfortunately, that is how we have been trained in our society, unfortunately. It starts in school when we have to sit down, when there's no time for us, when our parents are basically too busy, maybe. And like a lot of young adults have parents that were never at home. So then there is no co-regulation. A child needs co-regulation for strong emotions. And a child needs to, you know, like to know that it's okay to have these emotions. And I'm getting also some other messages here. I'll continue with my story after this. I resist recovery somehow. There is nothing that I want more to recover, but the moment it comes to applying techniques, I procrastinate. Yeah, you know, it's always about allowing something. And when you allow that specific something, you move out of the way, you let the stress move away from your body, and you get a reaction in the form of crying, or maybe slight shiver, or maybe some goosebumps. Maybe speaking your truth already does that. These are the gentle releases. They are actually very important. Because when the client has done the preparation work, then they can experience a lot more very gentle releases. Whereas if you haven't done it and you would like to experience what it could be, then, you know, we need to force you a little bit and do something more overwhelming. But it's anyhow, it's very important, empowering to see that the emotions and the symptoms are connected. All right, some few more questions. And procrastinating, talking about that. I think when you procrastinate, then either you don't really understand the method right enough or good enough, or that you're still in resistance towards your feelings and you're not ready to dive in. And we have to respect that. I mean, most people need 2 years of a chronic illness before they are ready to really go within and to feel themselves and to start crying and to start relating to themselves in a different way. So it's a waiting game. How long does it need and how bad does it need to become before you're ready to go within, to do the work? Maybe by really gentle work. I mean, that's always better, I think. But maybe sometimes you would need to force yourself a little bit, especially when it's something vague as allowing what, you know? Then doing a more advanced tool can really cause a breakthrough. I mean, that's what you basically want, right? Okay, I'm getting some more questions. Oh, that's the same question. Sorry for that. And a question from Jay. Hi, Daniel. How do you deal with an acute infection that triggers fear of not getting well? Thanks, Julia. Yeah, these are two things, you know. I think that these acute infections are actually very good. I think that a viral infection helps us. I also know that many people are afraid of what the body does, of healing stuff, you know, like getting a fever or any type of stuff. People are afraid for the body. People are afraid for good reasons because of all these symptoms, right? So when you have an infection, I can tell you that it's good, but this is not going to do anything with the fear that you're having, right? So it's all about the fear then. Where do you feel the fear? Where is it? So take some time, you know, breathe through your body. Fear, infection, fear, infection. What does it do to you? Where do you feel it? And fear is usually in the chest. So you can put your hands on that and allow that fear. Breathe through it. How old is the fear? What does it need? Okay, I won't do a guided session right now. The next question, Daniel. Hi. You say that you can get relief very quickly, say after one release, but others say it takes a long time. What are your thoughts on this, please? I think that every symptom can be resolved within 30 minutes. But it doesn't mean that the symptoms will never come back or that you manage it. Ideally, the symptoms would come back. And ideally, you would embark upon a wave journey that might take maybe a year, depending on how severe you are. Maybe 2 years if you're extreme, or if you don't know what you're doing, like I did, maybe 3 years. And then after every release, you can become symptom free, and then something triggers you and you feel some more stress and symptoms. So it's not about one magic release to become empowered and healthy forever. I don't think that's healthy. In fact, in the end, I triggered myself to experience symptoms. And there are many ways we can do that. And some of them are very unpleasant, but I needed to go through several layers, because after every release, you just feel better. The mind becomes clearer. You feel more empowered. Right now I'm in the process of purchasing land. I would like to create a healing retreat. But 1 year ago or 2 years ago, when I still had some emotions inside of me, that would have caused extreme, well, not extreme, but fear, subtle fear in the background, not feeling really at ease. And I noticed that it's just gone. So we feel more empowered. Okay. Oh, this is an interesting question from Yip. Sounds like a name from the Netherlands. Is the release program safe, or can it be overwhelming to suddenly feel everything, that it only makes you more alert, or think that it can be mentally harmful, that it works backwards? Yeah, I understand what you mean. And that's the reason actually why we put the free program offline. So that people in the past, they thought like, let's start in the last module. And that's not very wise. So we have created a program to safely, we started a lot with safety, slowly, slowly move through and prepare yourself so that you can actually go within. Because otherwise, if you just, for example, do module 13 from the program, then you would experience an increase in symptoms. And if you don't really know what you're doing and what the symptoms mean and how to influence them, then you can become afraid of this. And then you can stop this and say, no more of this. So we try to create it as safe as possible. And therefore, I think it's a safe program. And I wouldn't, if I really thought it wasn't safe or overwhelming, and that I, if I would really intend, well, it's weird, but if I would really intend to make people feel everything all of a sudden, I think I would be very irresponsible. And I'm trying to do this the right way, to be honest. I'm also trying to play the long game. I'm not here for the quick money. I'm already doing this for several years. And together with Valentina, and she's more about subtle releases and slowly and going slowly and safety, we have the program. So it's we want it to be more empowering than an extreme thing. But I know that there are extreme things, especially also outside of the program, like crazy breathwork things. You shouldn't start with that. Okay. I hope that answered your question. And Sailor, what about emotions that come from generational trauma? Well, emotions just need one thing, and that's to feel them through, no matter if they're yours or not. Because usually emotions also repeat themselves. So you create sort of unconsciously the same trauma that your grandparents had. So is it really like an emotion that passed, or is it just adaptive behavior that you've taught? Maybe it's a combination of both. And a lot of times when we see that people were, for example, in very extreme events like for example, the war in Yugoslavia, is that they were carrying the emotions from their parents, and in order to not pass that along to their own children, they needed to do the release work. And a lot of people that I work with are from that place, and they had to cry out the emotions from the parents just by feeling it through and connecting with their body. So it's not a difficult thing or something like that. Another one from Yip: how to release the fear of what will come after healing. It's the same thing as I said before. Fear is an emotion that just wants to be felt through. That's it. It's in your chest. Put your hand on it. You allow it. Maybe you say it in your mind: I'm afraid of this and this. Feel it through. Allow it completely. Make it bigger. Breathe into it. And the funny thing is that nothing changes in your circumstances via doing this. But when the fear removes itself, you suddenly look very differently to the future or to any situation, like, for example, the infection. Mia Mastush, Mustache. When one has a lifelong trauma, do you have to feel through every single traumatic event? Or how can those stored feelings release without addressing every event that ever happened? Eventually, you can manage to just feel without thinking, without making a story, just by breathing through. And maybe your body starts shivering and you can release it automatically. That would be ideal, right? So you don't have to analyze and think about every situation. That's not necessary. Maybe in the beginning this helps, but after a while, when you know what you're doing, you don't need that anymore. How do you allow when you are out in public amongst others? It's a difficult question. And I know that many have been watching The Mindful Gardener and that they have a lot of theories about it. But sometimes it's also okay not to allow. If you are with others, then they probably trigger you. So your thoughts become rampant and you feel stressed. So what is it that they exactly trigger you with? For example, that you're not good enough or unbelonging or anything like that. And maybe you won't be able to process this while you're with them. So then it's, you just take a moment for yourself or you just sit through it. And after that, you feel that through. Maybe I tell the clients from the program to just take half an hour for yourself, go somewhere, do a guided session, feel the emotional pain that you're triggered by, and allow that completely. I mean, that's the worst case scenario. That's eventually in the program. You create it for your own and you sort of live in your imagination everything that you don't want. Then the fear disappears when you feel it through, and then it's gone. Hello. Hello, Nikki. I have had my mom visit today and had awful fatigue all day. Now she's gone, I feel moody and low. And just like I want to cry and scream, I don't understand what is going on. Please, could you talk me through this? Well, mothers and parents are especially triggering. When they trigger you with a feeling from childhood, because that's when usually the most of the trauma was created, and when that comes up, that feeling, like fear or anger or disgust or shame, and when your brain perceives that as a danger, then you might develop fatigue or depersonalization, depression, vertigo, nausea, back pain, all kinds of nasty symptoms. I hope this helps because, it's basically for you to find out what she's triggering you with. Okay. Thank you for thinking me. Thank you for thinking me. Yip. And thank you for thinking me, Jennifer. Then another question is from the NVB. It sounds like a political party. I am afraid that if I release a trauma, I also lose feelings for people. I still want to care. Oh, you should write a little bit more about this. I think this is a very interesting one. So already write something in the comment. Because it's actually quite the opposite. Because when you are in trauma, you can't really love anyone. Like most people who are stuck in trauma, they see other people as commodities. And we have to admit, you know, I also did this. You can't really see other people because what you see is a version of yourself that is in pain. Or you see something that you have to do for them. So you can't really see them as long as your filters that you're looking through is through trauma. So by really removing that, you can start to love them for real. Like remove the entire story and you can love them like you would without the trauma. And then you care even more about it, but not in a way that you care in a stressful way, but you just care for them. It's more like an unconditional love. Okay, I hope this helps. Deep stuff. Lots of hearts from Russia or something, maybe Bulgaria or something. Practical question from Hank. Are the guided meditations available for download or do you have to be on the website to listen? I have a pretty strict screen time schedule. That's why I'm wondering. Yeah, you can't download them. I tried to look into like a system for Netflix that you can install them locally on your device. But before they were downloadable and people were just sharing them and I found somewhere else. So yeah, unfortunately right now, we don't have that service that you can download them locally. So you have to be online. Sorry for that. Okay. Sorry. And sometimes I have to think about what is going on. I'm really bad at doing two things at once. So NVB says, I currently deal with depersonalization, derealization from trauma, and now all my feelings feel gone like nothing matters. I want to feel anger and love. I feel like everything is released when I got into this DPDR. Well, this is a mind-body symptom, just like fatigue, and it sort of like distracts you from your body. So you're not anymore really connected with your body where all the feelings are. You need to work on safety. And we have got a lot of safety tools in the program. Safety, 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 connecting with the body, coming back to yourself, normalizing emotions, breathing through it, but also allowing to go from one state to the other, from stress to overwhelm, to freeze, back into stress, back to rest and digest. That becomes a wave pattern. And eventually it will become easier. Sailor, what if the moon, that's your last name. What if the body suddenly doesn't, what if the moon doesn't feel anything? Okay, what if the body suddenly doesn't feel anything at all? Even if you think about traumatic events in order to protect you from feelings. Happened to me several times. Yeah, that's basically the same question as before. So I think I've talked about that. Nikki, DPDR, depersonalization, derealization. Okay, it's already resolved. Let's see. Entire conversations here. Then, is there anything else that you would like to know? I think that, you know, many of you talk right now about allowing And when we talk about allowing, it's about allowing feelings, symptoms, emotions, boundaries, situations, circumstances, resistance, people, situations, basically anything, your limitations, your boundaries, your thoughts, you just allow it all. And what happens is then that you remove the resistance, stress response winds down, and the emotion can come through. And then you start crying. Maybe an extreme thing, what I sometimes call like vomiting or burping, or maybe a very gentle release, like some goosebumps. So all kinds of things can happen. So thank you so much. And I see that there are no more questions. So, some more questions are coming. Charlie, just got here. Do you like to use music or movies to get you feelings? Yeah. Well, I don't really watch movies. But music, yeah, definitely. Some people mentioned that they listen to the music that they listened to when they were a child and they start crying. And we have a playlist in Spotify for the OR members. Right now there's like 24 hours of music in this. And all of these songs are there to trigger emotions. Nice question. Thank you. Klikina. Klikina. Nice name. I have a frozen face and can't feel my laughter. Is it from anxiety or is it trauma? Everything is so tense. Well, you know, like it's difficult to give you a proper diagnosis without speaking to you. But this is a very common mind-body symptom, like complete sort of like a freeze response. Trauma, it doesn't have to be anything big, you know. Trauma can be very small. Yeah, work on allowing, work on safety, work on feeling your body, work on normalizing emotions, learning to feel emotions, learning to express your boundaries. And then things will usually improve. Britta from Berlin. Why do I keep watching videos that are scary or shocking, even though I feel worse afterwards? Well, maybe you're addicted to stress hormones. Like most people are addicted to stress hormones. Most people have no idea what it is to relax. Maybe a vague memory from childhood. I think you have to force yourself through a period of detoxification from this kind of behavior. Put everything offline, go in a cabin, go fish or something like that, or do some gardening stuff, and you'll notice that you wind down in a few hours. Then another question from Daria. Is Claire Weeks' method similar to your release program? I have no idea. Never heard of her. I'm sorry. Maybe I should have, but I just don't. Yep. I noticed that whenever I allow space for emotions to surface, I mostly just yawn a lot. Is this also a part of the physical outlet or more of a bypass? Yeah. Yawning is a sign of relaxation. So that's really good. In fact, thinking about yawning makes me want to yawn right now. I just saw actually a video where everyone was yawning and the police officer that stopped the car couldn't continue with his stuff because he also had to yawn, and then everybody was yawning. Pretty funny. Okay, final question from Sailor. Is writing down the feelings and thoughts you have a good idea in order to allow and process them? If you don't make this a mental process, then why not? I think, you know, everyone needs a certain something in order to keep this momentum going and to start feeling. I would find it a very bad idea if you go chronologically through your childhood and make everything miserable. So, it could be a good idea. I mean, by the, like everything that I'm saying, you know, like we have coaches. every situation is different. And we're talking here about generalizations, but everyone is different. And in a coaching session, we can really find out everything that is exactly the right thing. Oh, some more questions. NVB is yawning. Margriet is yawning. Okay, then this is the final question here. How to believe that one can recover and not lose hope when being bedbound since 3 months and having post-exertional malaise from everything? I don't know what to tell you, but maybe it's okay to lose hope. What does it mean if you lose hope? That everything is bad, everything falls apart, that you're no longer the person that you used to be. Maybe allow that. You know, sometimes when you're bedbound or bedridden or having chronic fatigue syndrome, you're being confronted with feelings that you project on the situation, but they're much older. And hope, I find hope terrible. Like, I know you guys want hope. I understand it. But if it's just hope that I'm giving, I'll stop instantly. Like, we really have to give our clients knowing how this works, how to empower themselves, how to get out of their bed. Hope always turns into despair. Always. And despair will always turn into hope. They're two sides of the same coin. They come together. Yeah, but hope, yeah, hope doesn't do anything. It's knowing, understanding, experience, the experience of that you can influence your symptoms, that you can stop your post-exertional malaise, that you can stop the fatigue. Maybe it will come back, but then at least you know what to do. I hope I gave you a good answer. And thank you so much, everyone, for being here with me. I hope my internet was good. I am here on a mountain on the Azores with Starlink on the roof, but Starlink is very slow here. And I hope it's sufficient enough. So I wish you all a beautiful healing journey, and I'll see you in the next Q&A. And I wish you a beautiful evening as well.